to the First Parish Church of Stone Acton, a welcoming Unitarian Universalist congregation. My name is Neil Saunders, and I serve as president. Childcare is available during the service in the nursery at its new location in the lower level of Fellowship Hall across the parking lot to my left. Everyone is invited to coffee hour in Fellowship Hall after the service. For those of you who've been coming for a while, consider choosing a green mug from the visitor table at coffee hour. By choosing a green mug, you're inviting visitors and newer members to ask you about our vibrant community. If this is your first time with us, we're very happy to have you here. Please sign our guest book in the vestibule at the front entrance of the church, and we encourage you to join us for coffee hour, where you can sip delicious fair trade coffee and learn more about us at our visitor table. I'd also like to draw your attention to the announcements in today's order of service. In particular, we should note that there's a benefit piano recital today at 3 p.m. Renowned pianist Malcolm Halliday will play a wonderful program of piano gems here in the sanctuary for the benefit of our church. Information about the program is on the back of the order of service. Many folks have their tickets from the auction last spring, but all are welcome and can buy tickets at the door. All the proceeds go to the church. Now, as all of you who attended last Friday night's congregational meeting know, we took a very important step forward at that meeting. We voted overwhelmingly in support of option 3, and now we're ready to take another important step forward. We're going to conduct a financial feasibility study to figure out if we can raise the necessary money for option 3. And what will be happening in the next week or so is there will be a visit from Mark Hewitt, the UUA consultant that many of you met earlier when we kicked off the capital campaign. He'll be interviewing about 20% of the members between the 3rd and 7th of November. He'll then prepare a report for us of the results of those interviews and some recommendations. And then the Board of Trustees, in conjunction with the Steering Committee of the Capital Campaign, will work together to put together a proposal around the financial feasibility, and we'll present that once again to a congregational vote. That's Friday, January the 27th. So that's the next step, and I appreciate all the people that came on Friday night. We had a terrific turnout. Almost a third of the members were here for that vote. Okay, next Sunday will be our special All Souls Day service where we remember and celebrate the lives of those loved ones who have gone before us. Please bring a photo of a deceased friend or family member to church next week to help create our altar of remembrance. And finally, October, as you know, is Urban Ministry Month, and there are still two more opportunities this week which are in your blue insert. Thank you.
On the note of urban ministry, on Wednesday night we're going in to serve the dinner, and I think we still may need another pot of chili, perhaps. So, or a couple of other things. So, if anybody's interested in going or cooking, please see me. And also, I have tickets to that wonderful Sparks presentation, which is next Saturday. I actually have some tickets to give as well as to sell. And the interesting part is the First Lady of Massachusetts will be taking part in that. So, if you'd like to meet Deval Patrick's wife. I don't think he'll be there, but she will be, Diana, and that's another incentive to participate. I'd like to take a moment to introduce you our guest today, the Reverend John Cresswell. John is the associate minister at our church in Annapolis, Maryland, but perhaps more important, or I shouldn't say more important, equally important, John serves in the capacity of an advisor on the president of the UUA's council, president of UUA's advisory board. And he is a self-proclaimed UU evangelist, and he is going to display that to you today. The good news is that he has just been selected to be the preacher for the principal service at GA on Sunday morning, General Assembly on Sunday morning this year. So, John, we welcome you. We're glad you're with us. You can learn more about him on the bio that's in your order of service. And at this service, because community is so important to us, we start off by taking an opportunity to greet your neighbor. And I ask you particularly to reach out to any visitors or guests who might be with us here today and extend a particularly warm welcome to them.
We're going to come back up here.
We'll greet Mike.
Yes, huh? When we start the anthem, we'll just not be a red community on the fire. We'll start moving up the time of silence, right?
Sure, you know, it won't be very long. So
that's
just
fine.
We're going to come down out of the pulpit.
Okay.
You know, actually, when we come out of the pulpit, we can almost start them right in, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Good. And the sun is rising in my soul. We greet this new day with joy, knowing that we have yet another opportunity to love and to serve, to give and to receive, and share the extraordinary blessings of this life. Indeed, the sun is rising in our souls. And now from that light that burns in each of us, we'll light our common flame. And as the Stadolnik family comes forward to light our chalice, I invite you to turn to this morning's unison words of chalice lighting found in your order of service. Each of the stars in the heavens is unique and individual, yet together they form the night sky. Each of us here is unique and individual, yet together we are a congregation. Each of our congregations is unique and individual, yet together we are an association. For stars in the sky, for people in the pews, for members of our association, in gratitude, we light this chalice. I now invite you to come and go with me and with each other to that place where there's freedom and justice and singing, It's number 1018 in the turquoise supplement. Come and go with me to that land. Please rise as you're able, join in singing, and remain standing for the covenant and affirmation.
Now I want to ask you, do you think that's going to be really hard to break? Nobody thinks, well, let's see, is it hard to break them down? Well, that wasn't very hard to break, was it? But now I'm going to give you this whole bunch of sticks that are bound together. See if you can break those. When bound together, they are much stronger than the individual sticks. Now, I want you to think for a minute that these sticks are people. What does this tell us about people when they're come together? Anybody?
Yes.
We're stronger. Not only are we stronger, we're better. We can do things that we can't do by ourselves. And that's why we come together as a church. Because together, we're like the bundle of sticks. We're much stronger. We're much better. We can do more things. Well, now I want you to think of the sticks not as people, but as churches full of people. Okay? So if each one of these was a church all tied together into a large group of churches, what would we know about those churches when they're together? They would be strong, right? They would be stronger together. They would be better together. They could do more things together. They could do things that they couldn't do by themselves when they're together. Now, today is our Association Sunday. And that's a Sunday when we celebrate our connection to a whole bunch of other churches that we're tied together with. Okay? And we have, there are Unitarian Universalist churches all over the country, more than 1,000 of them. And we have an association that ties us together. And why do we do that? Why do we put those churches all together instead of just having each church on its own? Can you tell me? So they will be what?
Stronger.
And what else?
Better.
And anything else? Powerful. And they can do things together that they can't do by themselves. Is our custom, each week we take a spark from our common plane and we light a lamp to go to religious education classes. And today I think our Sheena Guerrero is going to be our lamp bearer. So if you all, if you're going to RE, if you will follow her.
Spirit of life, source of love and grace that we know dwells among us in this beloved community. We in thought and prayer bring into this time and space our gratitude and our concerns. We give thanks for the many blessings of our lives. On this Association Sunday, we particularly give thanks for our liberal faith tradition. We pray that it may grow stronger and deeper and wider, and its message of hope and love and inclusion will be heard by many new ears. in the season of harvest. We acknowledge our gratitude for the rich bounty of food that we enjoy. And as we give thanks, we remember that so many go without even these most basic needs met. We bring their needs into our hearts now. We give thanks for the people in our lives, the joy of family and friends and community, especially this community of First Parish. And as we give thanks, we remember those who are lonely and isolated and in need of community. We bring their need into our hearts now. We give thanks for good health and quality medical care. And we pray for those who are ill in body or mind, those who are now receiving treatment and care, and all those in our own country and in the world who have little access to medical care. We give thanks for the safety and freedom in which we live our lives, the freedom to openly speak our thoughts, and the freedom to associate. We hear the cries of those who assemble in our cities now, claiming the American dream has failed them. We pray for a country where principles of justice and equity and not money will guide our political decisions. We remember in prayer those who live under oppressive rule, who cannot speak their minds or even gather as we do this morning. We pray for the Libyan people in this time of newfound freedom. May they seize this opportunity to create a just society. We are a people of caring for one another and caring for the world. Love is the spirit that guides us, for it is where love prevails that God is found. Ubi caritas et amor Deus ibi est. Please come into a time of shared silence. Our reading today comes from a man credited with founding universalism in this country, John Murray. Go out into the highways and byways. Give the people something of your new vision. You may possess a small light, but uncover it. Let it shine. Use it in order to bring more light and understanding to the hearts and minds of men and women. Give them not hell, but hope and courage. Preach the kindness and everlasting love of God.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? Whoa, the music here is fantastic. Fantastic. I thought my church was the only church that could sing. And I thought I was the only minister that could sing. But Tom has a beautiful voice up here singing with me. Tom, thank you for your hospitality, too. He's taken good care of me, he and Malcolm. And so I've enjoyed my very brief stay here. But what a beautiful area. What a beautiful area. Most of my preaching up until now has been mostly in the Joseph Priestley district. But I'm so glad to be here on behalf of Peter Morales, who's a very good friend now of mine. And who would have known years ago when I woke up one day and just typed a message saying I was changing endorsements to Peter Morales that would mean anything. I didn't think it meant that. I was just letting the other candidate know that I wasn't going to be supporting her any longer. And I switched to Peter, and I said, boy, you better win. That's all I know, because I basically ruined myself with the president of the association. But he won, and we've had a friendship since then. He asked me to serve on the president's council, and I've done a number of things with the UUA. I believe in supporting our association. They've been very, very good to me and very good to my church, Unitarian Universalist Church of Annapolis. Prior to my stint there, I'm in my third year, I was at Davies Memorial in Camp Springs in Prince George's County, Maryland. And the UUA under Bill Sinkert was very supportive. It was close to $100,000 to support our transition into a multiracial congregation. And we became a breakthrough congregation, all that good stuff. It was great going there. And then they supported us, the Association Sunday Dollars here for the last few years, supported UU Church of Annapolis. They gave us over 3 years $30,000 to support my call as the associate minister under a program called the Diversity of Ministry Initiative. So I can say that this association, even though we have a really poor past with dealing with ministers of color and racial diversity and all those things, they've done good by me. And so I am here to let you all know that. There's a hymn that you all are familiar with. It's Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a soul, or saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Blind, but now I see. The song was written in 1748 by John Newton. John Newton was in the slave trading business. This is part of when the transatlantic slave trade was going on. And on May 10th, John Newton's ship came upon a major storm, and he began to fear for his life. And so he began to pray. And as the story goes, he began to feel more, he felt calmer and more assured that he'd be okay. And when the storm subsided, he was thankful to his God for allowing him to make it through. And so this event would play a large part of Newton's life. He would eventually leave the slave trading business, and he would become a preacher, a minister. And he wrote this hymn not long afterward in 1748, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved what he called a wretch like me. Indeed, we changed the hymn as Unitarian Universalists. We put the word soul in there. We don't call ourselves wretches, but indeed, Newton at that time was a wretch. I can relate to him in a very different way. I was reborn some time ago when I found a place that accepted what I thought were strange beliefs. Strange beliefs. I want to get back to that, my strange beliefs. But you know, I think it's important to remember that when we all come into this world, we come as a blank slate, tabula rasa. And then all of these experiences, our family, our culture, mores and folklores, all of these things we learn, we're given. I guess it's a sort of survival instinct from our parents that they give us. They teach us certain things about life, about living, and about dying to help us to thrive and and survive. We learn about God, nature, and reality. And then we begin to live, and we begin to look at some of these beliefs. Some we hold on to, some we let go of, because we have certain experiences in life. We experience love for the first time, and we might experience heartbreak for the first time. We might experience the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. All of these things play into how we choose our belief structure and our belief system. And in that process, I believe our naivete is lost. Now, I don't think we have any kids in here. I'll never forget when I realized that Santa Claus wasn't true. It really hurt me to my heart. That naivete is lost, and I call this that first great awakening. I hope some of you are not upset. Santa Claus, y'all were so quiet. Santa Claus, whatever you want to believe is fine, okay? But I call that the first great awakening, when you see that life is not easy, and that some of the things you were told were not true or done, as I said, to protect you as a young person. And you don't look at life the same. You're reborn, in a sense. And you have to look forward, not back. The happening changes us in sometimes a very profound way. And this is when we start moving to what I call that existential edge. We begin to ask those existential questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the reason for living? Why do I exist? Like Emerson, when he realized that God was beyond the Bible, beyond the book, and must be experienced intuitively, or from my old Methodist roots, John Wesley, who understood at Aldersgate, when he had that warm feeling come over his heart, that strange feeling that God had to be experienced in a very different way than ritual and being inside of a church house. Maybe even John Newton, in a real experience, you know, making money with the slave trade, probably making hundreds of thousands of dollars and succeeding, and one day realizing, I can't live this way. Whatever it is, small or large, these transformative moments, they make us who we are. And I have to say that when I went through that moment in my life, it's been many years now, when I was 25 years old, and I realized that the things that I believed, religiously speaking, well, I didn't believe them anymore. That was a time that really rocked my world. Can you imagine losing your foundation? People telling you your whole life you're going to be a preacher. You sound like a preacher. You act like a preacher. You're going to be a preacher. And realizing in seminary that you don't believe what they're teaching you. How depressing it was. Thought about dropping out. Then I began to walk around the bookstore. And it's amazing how the universe works. Just looking for a book. I don't know what I was looking for, to be honest with you, but I ran across a book called The Power of Myth by Joseph Campbell. And I read that book. And then I kept on walking through the bookstore, and I found another book. Why Christianity Must Change or Die, John Shelby's Fall. New Christianity for a New World. Resurrection, Myth, or Reality. All these books, and they spoke to me in a time where I needed to hear something else, another message, a message that told me I wasn't strange. Because I began to feel that I was, that something was wrong with me. Then I realized that there was a place that I could go that could transform my life, that allowed me to be who I was. It wasn't easy finding you. It wasn't easy finding you. There was another book I picked up, Religions in America. And it's a big almanac, about this thick, looks like a Bible. In fact, I started from the beginning of that book, analyzing all the religions of America. So you can imagine I was getting quite frustrated. Somewhere around page 267, I got to this faith called Unitarian Universalism. And I'll tell you, it was like manna from heaven. I saw the words about this faith and the great people of this faith, and I cried immediately. And I said right then and there, I'm going to be a Unitarian Universalist minister. And I remember after that, I went to go see Richard Speck. He's a close friend now, and he was a district executive, still is. We met in Bethesda at Cedar Lane UU Church. And he tried to talk me out of it. I tell you, he did. Oh, we're struggling with this, John. We're struggling with this. Minister, I didn't know anything about that. I just knew that I had never in my life read on a piece of paper information about a religion and believed 100% what it said. So to me, this religion had nothing to do with race or class, but everything to do with what you value in life and how you view life. And that was a transformative moment. I understand John Newton when he says, I once was lost, but now am found. We all get lost in life. We all get caught up in our anger, our pettiness, or our past failures. But that's not the point of our story. I've been there. The best part of the story that beckons us, that calls us, is the part of being found. See, being found means you have that breakthrough moment, that freedom from what once held us captive. Breakthrough moment, and it comes sometimes when you least expect it. And that's why I truly believe with great freedom comes great responsibility. We have a responsibility to this faith and to humanity to keep pressing onward and upward. I know you know that. You've taken an aggressive stance. I'm sure you're building a, you have your yellow sign out front, standing on the side of love. You're letting people in this community know what you believe in. You also have a very powerful mission statement. And it says, we welcome all who seek a vibrant spiritual home where together we lovingly challenge and transform ourselves, empowered by our congregation's rich history and our Unitarian Universalist traditions. We commit to courageously build a caring and just world. That's transformational. How dare you? To whom much is given, much is required. I understand John Newton. I understand it. But I didn't join this faith because of our great history. You know, Richard Speck was trying to talk to me about the history of it. I didn't really hear any of that and all of the struggles we had with placing ministers of color. I didn't hear any of it. I didn't come to this religion because of the work we did during the women's suffrage movement, or those who marched with Dr. King for in Selma and all that good stuff, or the anti-Trinitarian theology, or the universal salvation. That's not why I came. All that's good stuff. It has its place, but that's not why I chose Unitarian Universalism. I simply chose this religion as the one that I will die for because it accepted me for who I was. And said, you are a work in progress. You know what I'm talking about. You are a work in progress. And then an old hymn of the church says, what shall I render for all the blessings? What shall I render? What shall I give? All I can render is my body and my soul. That's all I can render. That's all I can give. That's all I can give. Amazing grace that saves a soul like me. But now it goes deeper than that. It's not, I'm committed to this faith, absolutely, because of what it's done for me. I recognize that with that great freedom comes great responsibility, but it even goes deeper. As a human being, as Tom pointed out with his sticks, I think when I looked at those sticks, Tom, I think about what Dr. King and Frances Ellen Watkins Hopper said, we're tied inextricably or bound together in a single garment of destiny. And we're stronger together. I think about that. But I also think from time to time, what motivates you if in your existential search you believe you create your own purpose and that there's not some divine being making the purpose for you, then what drives you? What drives Unitarian Universalism to keep going onward and upward? I believe it's a call from humanity. For indeed, how did all of us get here today if not for the sacrifices of so many others? I think about my ancestors all the time. I got lucky, I have to say, being born in 1969, just beyond the ugliness of the 1960s civil rights movement and before that. I never drank from a segregated fountain. I never experienced overt racism. And in reality speaking, if you threw my DNA into a pool and shook it up, I probably should have been born a slave. If I'm honest, how did I get so lucky to be born in the latter part of the 20th century when so many others died in chains? How did I get so fortunate to have a mom and a dad who were well-adjusted, who raised me the best they could? How did I get so lucky to find this faith? My gosh. Spirit says to me from time to time, it's not luck, John Creswell. To whom much is given, much is required. I placed you in this faith to be a voice crying out in the wilderness. I birthed you now to use your gifts and privileges so that many others may be given gifts, ability to use their gifts, and more privileges given. I gave you this great freedom so that you would help to make straight the path for justice. To whom much is given, much is required. But that call is not just to me. That spirit is speaking to all of us here, saying, to whom much is given, much is required. It's saying, hey, remember your ancestors. Some of them many years ago came in on a boat, struggled, barely had clothes on their back. Not just our religious ancestors who got us to this place, but our families too. How dare any of us be haughty or selfish with our lives? I live to give my life away because I am thankful for all that has been given to me. Inventory your life, my friends. This Sunday is about generosity. Generosity to our faith. And really generosity to the world. I know you're a generous church, so I don't have to preach that to you. You are. I know what you're working on with your capital campaign, which I think is marvelous. You're opening the space more so that more can come to this house and be welcomed and loved. I know that. And I know how important that is for this church and the churches like this to be here. You know, Peter has this message, Morales, about all these dying UU churches in the New England states. I'm going to let them know that there's one that's not. Now I'm going to tell them Tom told me to tell them that.
You got the message.
Yeah. I want to close really quickly by thanking you for your support of Association Sunday. But I do want to remind you to not get caught in your past success. Peter likes to say that. The thing that causes us the most trouble is our past successes. We have to keep looking forward, onward, and upward forever, as the great Unitarian said. We have to continue to be forward-thinking about our religion and how we can make it more accessible to more people. We can be the religion of our time, but it's not guaranteed unless we are willing to commit the tireless and determined effort to get where we need to be. I believe we are the religion of the 21st century, and I hope you do believe that too. I want to close with the words from Paul Laurence Dunbar, who, great African-American poet. He sums up what authentic religion is all about, that it's transformative and bold. The kind of religion that Unitarian Universalism, I hope, is becoming. He said these words, "I am no priest of crooks nor creeds. For human wants and human needs are more to me than prophet's deeds. And human tears and human cares affect me more than human prayers. Go, seek your well, lugubrious saint. You fret high heaven with your complaint. Is this religion's joy you paint? Is this religion's boasted bliss? Avails your faith no more than this? Take up your arms. Come out with me. Let heaven alone. Humanity needs more and heaven less from thee. With pity for humankind, look round. Help them to rise. And heaven is found." Amen.
I invite you to rise and affirm John's message in song, hymn 24 in the supplement, "When the Spirit Says Do." Saving faith, not just for you, John, but for so many who either not found a place or in fact have been rejected by the religious traditions from which they're come, not counting those who have come up through this tradition. Make no mistake that this faith saves lives. Our light is one of hope and acceptance and reason and justice. But the question for all of us is, will we let it shine? Or will we keep it under that proverbial bushel basket? Keep it to ourselves so that the world so in need of that light might not even know it's there for them. In celebrating Association Sunday, we recognize the importance of the light that we bring to the world. We can all spread that message, or if you will, the light of this faith. But you know, it falls particularly upon our professionals to do so. Our ministers, our religious educators, and our musicians. And for us all to do the best that we can do, we need continued training and education. Our director of religious education, Michelle, is close to completing a series of modules that is and will make her a better DRE. Our music director, Mike, has already joined the UU Musicians Network and is using material from it and will be attending conferences and workshops offered by it. You know, and if you want some new ideas and sermons and in worship here, you better let me be refreshed too by some continuing ed. That is what the money goes for that we're collecting on this Association Sunday. All of it. Today, all of our non-pledge offering that will be in the collection will go to the UUA for this specific purpose. It's a very important one, and I'm going to give generously. You can write a check if you wish, make it to the UUA, and put Association Sunday on the memo line. And as the offering is accepted, the jazz band is going to get us swinging with this little light of mine. And then after the plate comes by, and after they've treated us to a version of it, Mike's going to cue us, and we're all going to rise and sing it. It's hymn number 118 in the hymnal. The morning offering will now be gratefully accepted. on, join me to the benediction.
Baal is a religion which, like sunshine, goes everywhere.
Its temple, all space.
Its shrine, the good heart.
Its creed, all truth.
Its ritual, works of love.
Its profession of faith, divine living. I invite you now to sing to each other a benediction printed in your order of service. Peace be with you.